Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this day. We thank you for your love and care. We thank you that we can bring every detail of our lives before you and put it in your hands. We thank you for your might and majesty. We thank you for your word who tells us who we are, who you are, and for the glorious, truly glorious relationship, Lord, what you offer to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Teach us, lead us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You will have noticed, if you've looked at the scripture, that we didn't continue our James study this week. We will, Lord willing, be back in James next week. But what I was doing, I was trying to think our annual meeting today. And I thought, well, I'll share a few minutes during our annual meeting, kind of a charge to the troops. Lord, what would you have me speak to our fellowship here as we do a little bit of looking back on 2015 and as we look ahead to 2016, what God might do, what he might stir up in the midst of Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. But I thought, you know what, why try to just say something in just a few minutes? Why not just take this time right here this morning in our morning worship service and speak to those things. So here is what God has directed me to, this text in 2 Corinthians 12. What I want to ask us then as we begin, as we continue, by whose perception of life do we live? By whose perception of life do we live? What reality is our reality? Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, "Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one." Stephen Hawking belongs to the camp of physicists who believe that reality exists out there as a material fact, but he concedes, as did Einstein before him, that science doesn't claim to know what reality is. Every human on the planet has an intuitive perception, an inherent, innate perception of reality, an idea of life that seems right to him or to her, but ends in death. Everyone. This is how we operate without divine intervention. I want us to look at a particular reality this morning. Not with our intuitive perception, not with our idea of life that seems right, but a look at reality directed by the divine word of truth. I want us to examine a concept presented in Scripture, which according to the natural perception of humans, that God, well, maybe he just got this one upside down and backwards. Our subject for discussion, when I am weak, then I am strong. If you would turn your Bibles, if you haven't already, to 2 Corinthians 12:1. 2 Corinthians 12:1. If you want to do some follow-up on this, you can read. I'll just throw some chapters out to you. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul goes through all this discussion of contending. The context is he's contending with these super apostles. He's pretending that with this group, and man, are they ever slick. And they come across so well, and people are going to them, but they're false apostles. In fact, they're Satan's ambassadors, not God's. Some other texts that you may, and this is really background, but the life of Moses in chapter 2 of Exodus and chapter 3 of Exodus. Back again to our concept that we're going to be looking at. And I almost started out saying, fill in the blank, or finish the sentence, when I am weak. Now, humanly speaking, we'd say, when I am weak, what? I'm weak. Not God's reality, though. And that's what I want us to grasp and to end up embracing. All of the things that can happen in our lives and that can seem like a mistake that we've made, and sometimes it is, the way God still works on those, Exodus 2 and 3. If you don't mind raising your hand, anybody here 80 years old? Okay. I mean, you don't have to, but Wayne said he's pretty close to 80. not necessary. We know there's more than one of us over 35 here, don't we? Anybody here feel stronger now than you did 20 years ago? Yeah, Joker. We have this idea. Well, I'm weak. We're weak. I'm weaker. You know, I could list, and I won't say names, say my name, our ailments that we have. And we're going to look at this. Paul was given a grand vision, and then he was given an ailment, a thorn in the flesh, which most commentators believe was something physical. We have these things happen to us. They're discouraging. A hip, a knee, a leg, a back, an arm, whatever it is. I don't like those things, do you? But what does my God tell me? Well, I'm weak, so train's already pulled out of the station. He's not weak. I think those are some very powerful things in this text that I want to share with you. First, we need a glorious vision to serve a glorious God. And it's in Scripture. We don't have to pump things up. We don't have to hype it. All we have to do is read the words of the Bible and believe it. The church of Jesus Christ is His glorious creation. It's His glorious craftsmanship. The opportunities that He gives us, the stewardship that He gives us, it's amazing. No, we can't grasp it all now, but by faith we'll accept the things that God puts in our hands, the things that we know that we should do. And when we get to heaven, when we're before the throne of God, when we see all of this, it'll click that much more. But we don't want to. We don't want to wait till then. We can't wait till then. We have to have a picture of that future glory. We need a glorious vision to serve a glorious God. And our God is a glorious God. He is amazing. He is majesty. He is beyond our comprehension in goodness and greatness. He is sovereign. He is providential care of this world as He rules. Well, Paul was given a glorious vision, and then he was given a punch in the gut, and we're going to examine why. 2 Corinthians 12:1, Paul writes, I must go on boasting, okay? He's continuing this from chapter 11, because these people, they were saying, well, look at Paul, you know, he's not much of anything. Well, he compared Hebrew of Hebrew, Israelite, Pharisee, all of these things. I mean, Paul, he said, he would say, you know, oh, this is so foolish, he said, but he really could brag, but he said, no, I can't do that. But he did it for sake of argument. Well, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, Paul's speaking of himself here. 14 years ago, this happened. The reason Paul shares these things, the reason Paul contends with these people, because some of the believers around him, they were so gullible. They were going for the shiny trinket religion that was being dangled before them. And they called them super apostles. They were so slick, and man, did they ever have it together. But they weren't. They did not have it together. Paul has to bring these things up, things that he would rather not discuss. But he said, I'm going to bring this up. I need to, because you need to hear this. Paul needed to authenticate his credentials so they would quit listening to the nonsense of these people who were playing to the emotions, to the felt needs of the people around them. He says, I know a man in Christ. Again, Paul speaking of himself, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Paul said, I don't know if I was really in the body or not. He had this vision. It seemed he was there, whether he was physically there. Actually, he said, I don't know. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Don't let these things go past us. He was caught up. God took Paul in this vision into heaven. this glorious vision. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. He repeats that phrase. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Paul was told things that were so amazing. It was like, no, when you're back down on earth, when we transport you back, you can't talk about these things. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Now, when we see this word weaknesses, it's the same word throughout our text. It's the same word, different verb form or different form tense. When I am weak, then I am strong. Same word, different form. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now that is reality. It's interesting, if you did do an online search of reality and perception of reality, and is it perception or reality? And one example that I read was the perception of a rose, and it was that Shakespeare, a rose of any other name is still a rose, or whatever that is. But this person brought out, said, well, what a rose is, the red, velvety, the smell, unless you have a hybrid rose that doesn't smell, the touch and the feel, even the thorn, said that's one thing to us, but it's a different thing if you're a moth or an aphid or a bird or a rabbit. You would relate, you would have a different perception of reality. And they talk about how the people say, well, you know, just you form your own perception of reality. You write your own story. All of these things that you read, which have some semblance of truth, because what they are all, in one way or another, talking about is the proverb. There is a way that seems right to a man or a woman. There is a way that seems right. There is an intuitive perception of reality that we all have. What we have to understand is we cannot rely on our innate sense of reality, on that intuitive perception. Because our intuitive perception, our natural perception of if you're weak, you're weak, you're not strong. But that's not where God's coming from. When we're weak, then we look to the grace, the sufficient grace of Jesus Christ, we become strong. In fact, his strength gets perfected in that weakness. So we see in the first 6 verses, we need a glorious vision. See, Paul, the course that was laid out for him, the things that he was going to have to endure and had already endured much of that, he needed a grand and glorious vision, a majestic God to follow. And God gave him that. Because see, here's what I came to. I thought, why in the world does God give Paul this grand, glorious vision, and then sticks a thorn in his side? Think about it. Why would God do that? Well, because Paul needed that vision. Just as we sometimes, we need that vision of the greatness of really who we are in Christ. Who we are individually in Christ, as God tells us in his word, who we are as a church. But the tendency can be, if we just dwell on those things, and if we just were talking to each other, and boy, we're building each other up, the old head can puff up. So we need that grand and glorious vision, But the second thing today is we do need the beating and the torments of this world to follow through on the grand and glorious vision. This thorn in the flesh that it speaks of, let's see, verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of a surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, there's different theories on that. As I read and studied, listened to good commentators, most of them believe it was something physical. And I think many of us can relate to that. I want to show you something. I got a new cane for Christmas. I don't know if I showed some of you this before. Folds up. It's got, I stand down here. I don't know, I stand up here so you can see me. So it folds up. I got a little thing I can hang on it. Now watch this. Isn't that pretty cool? But you know what? I'd really rather not know that much about canes. Follow what I'm saying? I see somebody run, especially if they're older than me. I got to admit that hurts a little bit. I think some of you might understand what I'm saying. Now, am I complaining? I'm not a bit. My cup, I can say from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my spirit, my cup overflows. It's what God gave me. Sometimes we look at these ailments that come up. We get hit. Maybe we get hit with the mini stroke. We get hit with the cancer news. It's the knee that gets us. It's the leg that gets us. It's the hip. It's the shoulder. And we look at that in the natural realm. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't look at that as something that's just there, that just happens. God is the giver of all good gifts, and some of these things that are so hard, they're some of our best gifts. And God, he gives us this glorious vision of life, but he knows us too. And he knows that if he's not working humility in our lives, if we're not bowed before him, that we just can't be looking ahead at this greatness and this glory, that somehow we need to get what it takes to live out this glorious vision of service. And that's exactly what we have. It's a glorious, I belong to the King. I'm in the Lord's army. We know that song from kids, don't we? Do you understand what an amazing, glorious calling it is to be called into service for the majestic one, the God Most High, name above all names? That's our grand and glorious vision. And we look at sometimes thinking, well, I could sure do that better if I felt better. If I was stronger, and I'm not against getting stronger and being healthy, things like that, but sometimes it doesn't go that way. And we count it as a negative instead of saying, you know what, my Lord brought that to me. Now, it says here in verse 7, it was a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Now, from what I saw, almost consensus for the guys that are expert in the Greek, and they talk about it was a passive verb, this and that, that it was given by God and it was carried out by Satan. That was given by God, it was carried out by Satan. Satan's always there and his messengers. Hey, can I find any volunteers to go over there and kick that Christian in the gut? All of them have their hands up in the air. You follow what I'm saying? They are ready to harm God's children, God's human creation, period. One of the things that Paul dealt with was that these guys, these commentators, they believe it in the context, Paul dealing with the super apostles, they were saying, hey, look at us. Man, we've got it going. We've got the money coming in. We've got the crowds. Look at Paul over there. He's limping around, or he's carrying his arm, or he's got whatever it was, the thorn in the side, however that worked out. They were saying that this was, that his weakness, and not in the good sense that we're speaking of, but that he just wasn't much, and that Satan had a hold on him. And God's saying, oh no. God, sovereign God, in his providence, he sent that. Paul needed it because Paul had this amazing vision. Caught up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you take your Sunday, you know, you turn the football game this afternoon and you doze off, and next thing you know, you're in paradise? I mean, for real. Can you just imagine that? That's what happened to Paul. Not the part about watching the football game, though, probably. He needed that grand vision, but he had to deal with the pride. God had to help him with that, so then Paul could carry this out. So we get these things, and sometimes we can have a lingering illness, cold, sore, whatever it might be, horrible cancer comes back, whatever that might be. We put that before God. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's what God says. Verse 8, and this was real. Verse 8, Paul said, three times I pleaded, I begged the Lord to take this away. This is the Apostle Paul. I begged God, he said. I begged the Lord. I pleaded that the Lord would take this away, but God didn't. But God didn't do that. What part of what I'm trying to say is we need to look at our perception of reality. Things don't just happen. And we have very clear direction in God's word. Sometimes we just don't put two and two together. We don't put these life experiences. It doesn't click. We don't put it, the sore elbow, or the hip, or the knee, or the leg, or the back, or the eyes, whatever it is, we don't put it together with God's plan in our lives. We are not as physically strong as we were 20 years ago. This hurts and that hurts and the other hurts and we don't see as well and we have cataract surgery and this and that. But don't you dare for an instant think that God cannot move powerfully in the midst of Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, because he is our glorious God. Don't think for an instant, because we are an older congregation, that God cannot sweep mightily through our midst and be a powerful testimony in this community and the surrounding area. I don't know what God's going to do. But what I'm saying is we take his perception of reality over ours. We have been indoctrinated for so many years. Now you get this age, then you're on the shelf. Baloney. Not what God tells us. God says, when I am weak. And sometimes we get hit with it, don't we? And man, we just get the stuffing taken out of us. But it's not us. Let's just get to that as we finish this. We need the beatings and torments of this life to fulfill our glorious vision of service. We need to own our weaknesses to fulfill our glorious vision of service. We need to own our weaknesses. We need to understand them. We need to understand things that come from the hand of God. It didn't just happen. I didn't just happen to have a bike wreck. Okay? Larry didn't just happen. I'll use his name because I know he won't mind. He didn't just happen to have this cancer recur in his life. God works in our lives. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you see how often, in 2 how often we're referred back to grace for the journey. If you would turn to 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, verse... No, chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, 1. You then, my child, Paul speaking to Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many times we heard, this is what we are brought back to. What do we need for the journey? We need the grace of God, His abundant, unlimited favor. And God just keeps giving us favor that we do not deserve. So we've got to get this out of our heads that God does something or He will do something, but I don't deserve it. Get it out of your head. What does He tell us we need for the journey when we're weak? What do we need for Him to make Himself strong, to perfect His power in our lives? What does God say? His grace. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. What is grace? Undeserved favor. The abundance of a loving Heavenly Father who can't wait to pour His life into our lives. And we'll fight it tooth and nail. But I don't deserve it. Forget deserving it. You don't deserve anything that God has. You deserve nothing. That's why it's grace. That's why it's mercy. And just think of the freedom. Just think of the freedom that we release that. Do we? No, we don't sin, so grace will abound. But if we do sin, grace will abound. We went through that in Romans. We think, well, we got this grand and glorious vision. And man, sometimes it's hard to keep that alive. It's hard for that fire to keep going. Especially if we fail, we get discouraged. It's like, well, how can we go on? His grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. What does God tell us? My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says then, I will own my weakness. Because I tried to figure out, well, what does he mean really? I looked at different translations. I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. I will brag about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. I think what he's saying there is, okay, I own it. I own it. This is who I am. I will own that and I will embrace the fact that God will use who I am. God will use this vessel. No matter how weakened this vessel is, until I die and go to be with the Lord, God will use this vessel, and He can use these vessels in a mighty way. That's what our God's perception of reality is. Whose perception of reality are we going to go with? For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, would you finish it for me? Let's do it again. For when I am weak, I am strong. Then I am strong. One more time. When I am weak,
I am strong.
I am strong. God's perception of reality. God being able to work in our lives. So what I want to ask us then, we look forward to this 2016. Let's just let God keep taking take the ceiling off. Take the roof off, okay? Let's let God just push aside some of these things that we've maybe even indoctrinated ourselves with. Well, we can, you know, we're a little old church here out in the boondocks, and maybe God... No, I'm not saying we puff out our chests and we say, oh, God's going to do this, but God will do something if we bow before Him, and it'll be great, and it'll be glorious, because He's a great, and He's a glorious God. So what I'm asking, are we willing to believe God? And are we willing to believe God over ourselves and our preconceptions and our misconceptions and our seems right way. Are we ready to believe God in His glory before we even see that glory face to face? Are we ready to live before that grand and glorious vision? Are we ready to believe in His glorious vision for Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois? Are we ready to do that? We've got some business to take care of later. Sometimes we can too much look at, and sometimes rightfully so, look at annual meetings with apprehension and tension. We shouldn't do that. We should look at it as an opportunity of service. It's just like you might sit down. Anybody here like sitting down with the checkbook or going online and doing the bill paying and getting all that stuff in order? But it's good business. Feels good to get it done, doesn't it? And we've got business to take care of. And we've got a stewardship right here. We've got business to take care of. It's God's business. How could we be more honored than God calling us to take care of His business? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Again and again, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. I don't know how He can live in me, but He does. You tell me He does. Thank you. And teaches us and leads and directs us. Father, we're going to sing Jesus is coming again, and He is. And we're going to see your grandness and your glory in just in full living color one day. Help us to live now. In view of that, we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.